from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Shout out to Frank, who said, there are 6 super speedway races. Atlanta is now a super speedway like Daytona and Talladega. Kinda. It's like a hybrid. It's not quite full super speedway, but it's definitely not another mile and a half. Atlanta was. I've been to a race in Atlanta. The old Atlanta, not the new Atlanta. New Atlanta race this year is September 8th. I may find my way over there for that. But old Atlanta was the most boring race I've been to. I've been to Talladega. I've been to Charlotte. I've been to Daytona. I've not been to the new Atlanta track. And I can tell you the old Atlanta track, I'm glad they upgraded it, because the old Atlanta track was honestly the most boring race I've ever been to. It was like restarts and starts were good. And then outside of that, it was a car every 2 seconds. Zoom. Yum. Yum. And that was it. No passing, no real racing, right? It basically was the cars were separated by their tech and setup, and then once they got so split up, the draft wasn't in play anymore. Everybody was just running the same race. It was wildly boring. But I like the versatility on the circuit. I think it's good. He also said Chicago was a good race. They need to start it earlier, as both years have been impacted by dark. Yeah, it rained yesterday. But also, if they start that race at 1:30 instead of late in the afternoon, it always seems to rain before dark. Move it up. Let's finish this thing. So, good comment from Frank. Appreciate that. You can join our live stream at facebook.com/thefanupstate, twitter.com/thefanupstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, or The Rob Brown Show on Twitch. All of those available for your viewing pleasure. It is 7:02 in the morning, ladies and gentlemen, which means you are less than an hour away from work. And if you're like me, you're going at your clock going, oh my God, I thought it was 6:02. Where'd that hour go? Because that's a thing that happened to me today. Ugh, don't like that. But you got 57 minutes and 4 seconds till you got clock in at work, and you'll be talking about sports, because that's what you do. You love sports. That's why you listen to The Rob Brown Show every single weekday morning from 6 to 10 a.m. So if you're going to talk about sports, you need to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you need to know what's going on in the world of sports, you need this. It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top 3 sports stories that you need to know before you get your day at the office going. Let's jump right in with item number 1. After dropping 2 out of 3 at the house against the San Francisco Giants, the Atlanta Braves faced off with the Philadelphia Phillies this weekend for the first time since opening weekend. Their showdown with not just the leaders of the NL East, but the overall leaders of the National League started off with an 8-6 loss. It was a tough loss for Atlanta as they did fight back all the way into the 8th inning when Marcell Ozuna hit a 3-run shot that brought the Bravos within a couple. But it was one of Max Fried's less effective performances of the year. 6 innings pitched, 11 hits surrendered, 5 earned runs, and just 4 strikeouts in that one, whereas Aaron Nola allowed 5 hits across 6 innings and 3 earned runs. Atlanta fought back but couldn't get into it, and we all thought to ourselves, oh no, here we go again. But the Braves said, as they would win back-to-backs against the Phillies to claim the series 2-1. It started on Saturday when Spencer Schwellenbach had himself a day. 6 innings pitched, 7 hits allowed, but just 1 earned run. Cade 6, AJ Minter, Joe Jimenez, and Raisul Iglesias would all pitch 1 inning, and none of them would allow a hit to the Philadelphia Phillies, who managed 7 on the day, all against Schwellenbach. But they also K'd 11 times. Spencer Schwellenbach picked up his 2nd win on the season. And suddenly that young man is starting to look like he knows what he's doing. And then it came down to a Sunday rubber match yesterday afternoon back in the ATL. It was Reynaldo Lopez that was on the bump for Atlanta, and he put out a gem. 6 innings pitched, allowed just 2 hits, K'd 6 across 91 pitches on the day. Dylan Lee, Pierce Johnson, Aaron Bummer would each come in. They would each go 1 inning. Lee allowed 1 hit. Bummer allowed 2 hits. None of them allowed a run, and the Braves blanked the Phillies. Gave up just 5 hits on the day. The difference, the 2nd inning, when you had Adam Duvall, Matt Olson, and Eli White filling in left field, all go yard in the same inning. All of them would recall, Kalenic had one as well in the 2nd. White's came in the 6th inning, my bad. Eli White in the 6th inning. Kalenic, Olson, and Duvall all went yard in the 2nd. White would add his solo shot on in the 6th. There's your 6 runs for the Bravos. They knock off the Phillies 6-0 yesterday at the house and take a 2-1 series win over the Philadelphia Phillies. That does put Atlanta back at the 500 plus 10 mark. They are 49-39. They have now found themselves back to 8 games behind the Philadelphia Phillies in the NL East, as we are now just 22 days away from the MLB trade deadline, which Alex Anthopoulos, he has cooked the last few years. Shall he cook again? We will find out. Let's move on to item number 2. Speaking of Major League Baseball, let's stay right here for just a minute. The All-Star rosters have been put out. The Midsummer Classic is officially set and ready to roll. That will happen around the same time as the trade deadline. Is actually, I lied to you, July 16th is when we will get the Midsummer Classic. So just another 8 days away from getting that one underway. The American League starters will include Baltimore catcher Adley Rutschman, Toronto first baseman Vlad Guerrero Jr., Jose Altuve from Houston will play 2nd, the third baseman Jose Ramirez from Cleveland, Gunnar Henderson from Baltimore will be in the shortstop position, Aaron Judge, Stephen Kwan, and Juan Soto. Judge and Soto from the Yankees, Kwan from the Guardians, and Yordan Alvarez will hold down the DH spot. Judge, Kwan, and Soto across the outfield in the National League. Your starters behind the dish, William Contreras. Bryce Harper will be at first, Ketel Marte at second, Alec Bohm at third, and Trey Turner at short. Three Phillies across the infield. Second base, the only position not represented by a Philadelphia Philly in the starters. Jerickson Profar will be in the outfield along with Fernando Tatis Jr. and Christian Yelich. Shohei Ohtani gets the DH spot. Tyler Anderson, Corbin Burnes, Emmanuel Clase, Garrett Crochet, Logan Gilbert, Clay Holmes, Tanner Hawks, Seth Lugo, Mason Miller, Cole Reagans, Tarek Skubal, and Kirby Yates will be your pitchers for the American League. Over in the National League, Tyler Glasnow gets his first All-Star selection. He'll be joined by Ryan Helsley, Jeff Hoffman, Shoto Imanaga from the Cubs gets the nod. Atlanta's Reynaldo Lopez and Chris Sale will both be there. Tanner Scott, Paul Skeens in the rookie year. Paul Skeens gets the All-Star nod in the season of his call-up. That's pretty impressive. Matt Strom, Ranger Suarez, Robert Suarez, Logan Webb, and Zach Wheeler from Philly round out your National League pitchers when it comes down to it. So pretty good spot overall. The only other Brave going to the All-Star game, Marcell Ozuna, will go as the National League Reserve designated hitter. This is interesting, and I want to talk about this a little bit later in the show. Last year, the Braves sent seven All-Stars. Last year, the Braves were hovering around a 10-game lead in the NL East. Last year, the Braves were the team right now that looked like they were untouchable. And the Phillies were hanging around 10 games back. The Phillies had a couple of All-Stars, nothing that really blew you away. The Phillies found themselves looking up at Atlanta and going, what in the hell? How do we catch this team? The roles have reversed. Quite literally mirror image from last year. Exactly mirror image from last year. And we all know what happened in the playoffs last year. Should the Braves have some level of optimism here? Is it fair to have some level of optimism here, considering we're exactly where Philly was last year? And Philly is exactly where we were this year. I don't know. We'll talk more about that as we get a little bit closer to the trade deadline and see what moves, if any, Atlanta decides to make. Let's get to item number three. This one is interesting because the WNBA Rookie of the Year race, I think we all kind of knew coming in that it was going to be a race likely between Angel Reese in Chicago and Caitlin Clark in Indiana. There's some other excellent rookies out there. Kia Jackson, Cameron Brink, despite the fact that she has been shut down for the season with a busted wheel. There's some very good rookies out there. But it felt like the Rookie of the Year competition in the WNBA was always going to come down to Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And why wouldn't it? Their rivalry has been one of the best things going, not in women's sports, just in sports, period. It's been one of the best things going on. And now, it just got elevated and escalated. Why? Because both of them this weekend did something that no one has ever done before. Angel Reese notched her 13 consecutive double-double. That is a league record. She took that record away from WNBA all-time great Candace Parker, who back in 2009-2010 racked up a dozen double-doubles in a row. Angel Reese has now knocked down 13 double-doubles. And it looked like perhaps maybe that might have gotten Angel Reese a front-row ticket to the WNBA Rookie of the Year competition. But as Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend, because in the same weekend that Angel Reese recorded double-double 13, Caitlin Clark etched her name in the WNBA history books, becoming the first rookie in league history to record a triple-double. The Indiana Fever knocked off the New York Liberty on Saturday, 83-78. Caitlin Clark in that contest chipped in 19 points, 13 assists, and a dozen boards for the first triple-double in the history of the Indiana Fever and the first triple-double ever recorded by a WNBA rookie. I'm going to tell you straight up. If you're not enjoying the rivalry between these two players, I don't know really what to say to you. Because it's phenomenal. Is it an NBA traditional feel? No, not really. Not really. It didn't feel like the traditional NBA rivalries we've talked about, right? LeBron and Kobe. Joel Embiid and his niece. The basic rivalries of the league. What it kind of feels like is that, you know what it feels like to me? It feels like an old school NBA rivalry, right? Back when basketball wasn't a finesse-based game. And this is not me being an old hat and complaining because I love NBA basketball today. But what it feels like is an old, like, Detroit-Chicago rivalry. An old Detroit-LA, an old LA-Boston rivalry. It feels like two players that just want to beat the hell out of each other. And when they're not on the same court as each other, the best way for them to do it is to just try to outplay each other. To just stack up records. To just make history. And what they are driving at is excellence at this point. Caitlin Clark just did something amazing, and she did it the day that Angel Reese did something incredible. And so you had about an hour span where it's like, oh, Angel Reese is definitely going to win Rookie of the Year. Angel Reese is definitely getting this award. And then Caitlin Clark said, hold my beer, and turned around and got her own triple-double and said, not so fast, my friend. I love it. I love it. It is made Indiana Fever and Chicago Sky games, to me, it's made a must-watch at this point. Because it feels like they are both trying to outdo each other, and the game benefits. That's what I wanted out of these two from the beginning. Go be great, but keep this rivalry hot. Because if you keep this rivalry hot, people are going to tune in to see who outplays who. And it's been phenomenal. All right, there's your water cooler cheat sheet. Top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office this AM, and before we go to break, I have to ask, the hell were you looking at, dude?
Sign guy was out there.
Ah.
Yeah.
You were locked in,
yeah,
bro.
It's amazing how, I mean, I caught it right at the beginning, watched them do the entire sign, and then I was always curious how hard it was for them to get down off the pole.
And the answer
is? It took them a little bit, but at one point they were carrying something, so they're one hand in it going down to get to their ladder. And it just, I mean, you know, I was listening. I hit all my keys.
Oh, I didn't think you checked out, but I'm just saying, you were locked in like a lonely guy at a bar at 1:30 in the morning.
I still don't understand how they get all the air out. I mean, I'm watching them do it.
It's a giant credit card.
I must have missed that part. I must have looked away during that part. There are some things in life that I find very fascinating, and that sign was one of those things.
I'm totally good with it.
I was going to say, normally, if you weren't doing the segment, I'd have been going to break, we've been watching. Yes.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm fascinated by how the world works as well. I just looked over, and Zoe was locked in like a sniper for just a second. It was impressive.
No, not a sniper, because that would, yeah. But if I were a sniper,
I guess. If there's two things in the world Lonzo hates, they're hypotheticals and metaphors.
Well, if a sniper takes the guy out, then suddenly I'm a suspect because of what you just said.
I got nothing. Let's run to a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. So, our buddy Shane Barrett from the stream just tweeted, quote, I was explosively pooped on this morning by our newborn. How's your Monday going? Better than that.
Been there, dude. Been there.
And people ask, why don't you want kids, Rob? That. There would be a revenge vomit on my child. That's why.
Dude.
Take that, kid.
Stop it.
Take that. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Rob and the great one Lonzo with you here on an Upstate Monday morning. Do have a little bit of news. Came out yesterday. South Carolina has lost the commitment of 2024 four-star cornerback Shamari Earls out of Chester, Virginia. Decommitted from the Gamecocks yesterday. He did commit to the Gamecocks back during their spring game in April. He had offers from some powerhouse programs, Alabama, Tennessee amongst them. But the standout cornerback and decorated track and field athlete has decided to pull his commitment, a two-way player for Thomas Dale High School. They finished 11-1, reached the regional finals of the Virginia High School League Class 6 playoffs. He recorded 25 tackles, 4 pass breakups, 3 picks on defense, 29 catches for 715 yards, and 8 touchdowns on offense as a sophomore in 2022, 32 tackles, 6 pass breakups, and 2 interceptions, along with 10 snags for 204 and a pair of tutties in that one. Described as an imposing perimeter corner with an ideal blend of size and speed, he has made impacts on all 3 phases of the game and has experience in various coverages. Low tackling style, very effective, but will add value as he learns to shed blocks down the line. Seen as a multi-year starter at the Power 4 level of college ball with some NFL potential. Ultimately, the decommitment, one of the biggest of the 2024 class for the Gamecocks so far, but they remain hopeful for their DB class. There are some other names that are in play right now. Laganza Hayward, Kendall Daniels Jr., and Jadon Blair are still in the mix. They do have commitments from 3-star players, DeMarcus Leach and Christopher Hatfield, but this is, I am being told, a big loss for the Gamecock recruiting class. We'll keep an eye on this. I have not seen why it is that he decommitted yet. I have not seen any sort of tweet or Instagram post or anything. I'm not saying it's out there. It just hasn't come across my desk yet. And I'm not going out of my way because I don't get super worked up about the decisions of a 16-year-old boy in high school. Right? It's not my bag. I know. This is blasphemy in the South. I'm supposed to be cruton all the time. But it's just not me. It's just not me.
Why is it just in the South?
It's not, but it is.
Okay.
It's not, but it is.
So you're picking that thing up, that regionalism thing that really bothers me.
Of course it does, because you're not from here. You don't understand.
I've lived here longer than I lived there. So, but it still bothers me. America, man. It's all one place, okay?
It's really not, though.
It is.
No, it's really not.
It is.
It's okay to accept that there are different communities that like different things for different reasons. It is the acceptance of other people liking different things for different reasons.
So you're
that is American.
That the melting pot does not exist
no,
anymore.
No, quite the opposite. What I'm saying is, what is American is not that we are all the same, doing the same things, living our lives the same way. What is American is accepting.
No one ever said that. Regionalism leads to people going, okay, I'm different than you. I'm better than you.
That's intolerance.
Thing.
That's different.
Well, different. That's exactly where that
you
leads.
And I both recognize that we live our lives entirely different ways, and things I do, you have no interest in, and things you do, I have no interest in. And I've never once said, I'm better than you. It's
actually,
just that we are different.
You're interested in everything I do, and, you know, because I have an amazing life, and, you know.
I don't disagree that you do, but no.
Yeah, you do. I'm boring. We both know I'm boring. But you're heading towards my lifestyle right now. So
the point here is that I think, again, I don't know. I have only ever lived in the Southeast.
I've never
been anywhere else.
Being from the North, I never thought I'm from the North, and I never heard anyone say, "Yeah, but we're from the North." Except for, I think, Michigan or somebody. Anyway, so for the most part, no one says that in the North.
No. You're doing that thing again where you don't, and therefore no one does. That's not correct. I say all the time when people say, where are you from? I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Excuse me. I'm representing the North now. You can't do that.
Okay. Then say Hello? No one from the North says that.
I did say that.
But, oh, no. I think you said no one says.
I was talking about.
Gotcha. Okay.
No one in the
then
North
allow me,
says that.
Allow me to say. As somebody who has never lived anywhere outside of the southeastern United States, but...
And those regionalism people who talk about the true South believe you're not from the South. So
that is absolutely and entirely
true. Because you're from Florida, and that doesn't count, according to them.
No, it doesn't. So, as somebody who has
what I said.
Never lived outside of the southeastern United States, however... has worked for places that are outside of the southeastern United States, has repeatedly traveled to places for work outside of the southeastern United States, I absolutely believe that the obsession with recruiting, with the exception of being in Columbus or in Ann Arbor or in, like, Happy Valley.
Okay, so I'm an exception because I lived in the place where one of the biggest teams.
Yes, you are the exception.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
You are usually the exception.
Well, that's true.
I know.
That's for sure.
I know.
I walk in a room of people like, man.
As somebody who has covered college sports and still is asked to cover college sports for outlets outside, I can tell you that the
So you're saying they come to you for the Southern perspective?
Yes.
But can you do that when you're from Florida?
When BetQL says we need an SEC guy, they come get Rob Brown. That's just how it goes.
So you're an SEC guy now?
I am a whatever you need me to get on the mic and be guy.
So you could be a Big Ten guy?
Absolutely,
okay,
I could.
All right. So you're
absolutely
you're a chameleon. You're versatile.
Yes. Utilitarian. When I talk.
So that's not totalitarian.
It's very different.
You're going to miss me Thursday.
When I talk college ball, the obsession with Cruton is much more widespread across the South. And when I say the South, I'm including Texas in this. I include Arkansas. I include Missouri. I include Tennessee. I basically include honestly, South Carolina. I don't really include North Carolina. Just in my anecdotal experience.
Is it because it says North in the name?
No, it's just I think their priority lies elsewhere. I think the obsession with basketball recruiting is that way in North Carolina. But I think from North Carolina North, and then from effectively Texas, Arkansas West, you get heavy recruiting interests like on the campi of the different schools. But I think that the Cruton, let me put it this way, Cruton being a sports talk radio subject outside of like National Signing Day and Early Signing Day, it being a major sports radio conversation is primarily a Southeastern thing. And again, I listen to sports talk stations from around the country for fun because I'm a dork. But you get a lot of talk about recruiting around here, which is why I got sent this a minute ago from somebody going, Rob, what's the impact here? The impact is you just lost the four-star recruit from your 2024 class, which right now is comprised of 2- and 3-star guys with a couple of open battles for a few more 3-star guys, and I think either 1 or 2 more 4-star guys, but you're up against the Alabamas and the Tennessees. This was a major Cruton victory for the Gamecocks, and now it's gone. So to say it doesn't matter, it has no impact, absolutely untrue. But I'm also going to say I've seen a couple of high school caliber highlights from the kid, and it doesn't tell me what his immediate impact on the game was going to be. We'll talk more about it. Or we won't. I don't know. We'll see. Because we're in the Southeast, where people care about recruiting, unlike in Ohio, where they don't. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the radio program at 844-326-3663. That is the number to get on the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone, 844-326-3663. If you'd like to get at us in that direction, you are welcome to do so. You can text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with fan, F-A-N, fan, F-A-N, and we will read them on the radio program. You can also shoot us a tweet at the Rob Brown Show. You can tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word, or you can tweet everybody up in here at the Fan Upstate if you want to come at us in that direction. CBS Sports has ranked the best home field advantages in the Southeastern Conference. Best home field advantages in the SEC. Lonzo, who's number one? Stab in the dark.
Alabama.
Very close. Number two, LSU. They have at number one, 11-0 in night games under Brian Kelly. Its only home loss in the Kelly area came in at 11 a.m. local time against Tennessee. Alabama checked in number two. They had a 21-game home winning streak before a loss to Texas at Bryant Denny last year. They have Florida at number three. Florida's dropped 2 home games in each of the past 2 seasons while searching for their footing under Billy Napier. But the Swamp, still known as a very difficult place to play. They have Neyland Stadium ranked number 4, ranked 7th amongst the SEC venues in EA Sports' list of toughest places to play. But Baker Mayfield once called Neyland Stadium, quote, a different type of loud, end quote, after an Aggie game down there. They have Auburn ranked number 5. And here's where the rankings fall apart for me. Auburn is 12-10 at Jordan-Hare Stadium over the past 3 seasons. They have close losses inside of that 10 to a top 15 Georgia, a top 15 Alabama, a top 15 Ole Miss last season. They rank it this high because of the prayer at Jordan-Hare and because of the kick 6, the 2 miracle plays that knocked off Georgia and Alabama in consecutive games in 2013. which, by the way, the fact that it has been 11 years since the kick six just made my knees start hurting again. It's unreal. They have Georgia at number six. Georgia is 41-1 at home over the last seven. They own the nation's longest home winning streak at 32 games. And they have South Carolina checked in at number seven. Here's what CBS Sports writes up about the Gamecocks and about Willie B. Quote, South Carolina Stadium packs a punch, especially for a program not regarded as a historic power. Williams-Brice Stadium shakes when Sandstorm comes on, and the Gamecocks have notched some big home wins under Shane Beamer. Beating Florida and Auburn was crucial to getting the Gamecocks bowl eligible in 2021, and an upset of number 5 Tennessee altered the playoff picture in 2022, end quote. Here's where I have been. I have been to LSU. I have been to Alabama. I have been to Florida. I have not been to Tennessee for a game, but I have seen Neyland. I have been to Auburn. I have been to Georgia. I have been to South Carolina. I have not been to A&M, who they have ranked eighth, because I don't willingly hang out with people who are in a cult. I have not been to number 9 Oklahoma, 10 Texas. I have been to number 11 Mississippi State. I have not been to number 12 Arkansas. I have been to the Grove, number 13 Ole Miss. I have not been to Mizzou, Kentucky, or Vandy, 14, 15, 16 in the SEC. So of the top seven, in my experience, LSU is absolutely number one. That's not a debate to me. They are absolutely number one. Where it gets interesting is the last time that I went to Florida, Urban Meyer was still at the helm. And I can tell you that when Florida is in contention, the swamp is horrifying. When Florida's in contention, the swamp is terrifying. It's a bad place to be as an away guy. Quick story time. I went to an LSU Florida game, and I'm trying to remember the year that it was. LSU won that game. Was it 20? No, it was not. Yeah, it was. It was 2006, 2005, maybe earlier than that, somewhere in the early 2000s. Anyway, I went to that game, and I've told you guys in the past that my family is from Louisiana. They're an LSU family. So I was an LSU fan growing up. And my parents took me to an LSU Florida game, which I went to in purple. I went in purple and gold. Because I, you know, even as a kid, stir the pot a little bit. It's kind of fun. So I went in purple and gold, and LSU ended up winning on like a last second play, last minute play, whatever. And as I was leaving the swamp with my little brother, who was a Florida fan because my mother dropped him on his head as a child, and with my parents, who were just, they were just there. They were just bringing their boys to a ball game. As I was leaving and we were walking out of the ramp, we were sitting up in the top. As I was leaving, I got kicked. In the back of the knee, like kicked. Not like, you know, that thing you do to your friends where you kind of like put your foot in the back of their knee and then push on it so they fall down and then you laugh at them. No. Kicked in the back of the knee. And I turned around. The old man turned around. None of the Florida fans there would admit who did it. So we just kind of kept walking. And then it happened a second time. I was, like I said, I was probably 16, 15. So it would have been late. Maybe it was late 90s. Whatever, doesn't matter. Florida was at a peak. LSU was okay at the time. Happened again, and a cop saw it. Gainesville PD. Gainesville PD saw it. Whoever did it kind of faded back into the crowd, Assassin's Creed style. And the cop came over, and he grabbed me, my little brother, my mom, and my dad, and he's like, y'all come with me. I'm going to get you out of here safe. And he walked us over to an elevator. He brought us down the elevator, and he brought us out like a back exit to the stadium. And I'm like, what? Like, why? And he goes, oh, son, that wasn't going to stop happening. until you get to your car. I was like, y'all aren't going to do nothing about it. And he goes, hey, it wouldn't matter. He goes, there's really nothing we can do. There's so many people that act like that, we can't do anything. So I haven't been back to the swamp since then. Point here is, the Florida fans are extra. They're extra. They're a lot. All right, and it doesn't stop. So I got no problem with Florida being, I would put Florida number two. I would put Alabama number three, not a problem. But I will also say that that's in large part because of Alabama being a dynasty. Alabama pre the dynasty days would have been closer down to eight or nine on this list. Once Nick Saban turned them into a dynasty, it became a different game. Bryant-Denny Stadium became a monster of a stadium. I went there Saban's third or fourth year for a game against Mississippi State. One is a neutral fan. I had a buddy. It was his bachelor party. I graduated high school. The daughter of my high school head football coach was a sports information director at Alabama at this point. And so I called her. I'm like, yo, I need a ticket. Can you hook me up? She goes, I'll do you one better. And she got me and my boys out onto the field for that game. We were standing on the sideline for that game. And I will tell you that standing on the field of Bryant-Denny when the Crimson Tide rolls in, it's one of the coolest things I've ever experienced. I'm fine with Alabama. I would put them at three. Tennessee, I have not been to yet. I accept that they're probably up there somewhere in the neighborhood of Alabama. But just having your band play Rocky Top a bunch, to me, doesn't auto-qualify you in this discussion. So I don't know. I can't say for sure. What I will say is South Carolina deserves to be like next up on that list. I have been to Willie B three times since I moved here. Once for a Clemson game, once for a Florida game, and once for a, I don't remember, it was one of the FCS games. Upstate, I don't remember. But three times. And I can say, and I think this is something to lean on and be proud of. In fact, if anything, this probably should become, if it's not already, this probably should be the identity of South Carolina. All three games I went to, it felt like it was a night SEC versus the number one team in the country contest. All three games, the stadium was packed. All three games, the stadium was loud. All three games, the stadium was swaying. Now, I've been to an FCS game in Alabama as well as Mississippi State, and what I can tell you is that while they are still up, they are still loud, it does not have the same energy as an SEC night contest. To me, Willie B is a, I would say, top five team, maybe top four in terms of stadium environment and atmosphere on game day in the conference. To the point that I would make this, my football identity if I was you, right? Like I Mark Ryan used to say this all the time, and I thought it was very fair. I didn't always like what he labeled as identities, but he always said, and I agree with him, a college football team needs an identity. You need, when somebody says the name of your school, you need a thing that other people think of, right? When I say Texas A&M, you see weird dudes in World War II cosplay on the field going, oh, we're a cult. You see that in your head, right? When you hear Tennessee, you hear you see the orange and white checkerboards. When you hear Georgia, you hear Sick'em Dogs. You feel that identity. If I say South Carolina, outside of Columbia and the upstate, if I go back down to the Florida Panhandle next weekend and I ask people, what do they think when they think of South Carolina? What are they going to say? Dawn Staley. And that's great. It's great. It's great. You should 1,000% be pimping the hell up out of the women's basketball team. Women's basketball, yeah, that's a bad way to phrase that. You should be 1,000% promoting the hell out of the women's basketball team. I apologize. That was poor wording, and I feel like a jerk. That's my bad. You should be promoting the hell out of the legacy of Dawn Staley and out of the legacy of the women's basketball program because you have the best in the country, and it should be celebrated as such. It just should, right? But how do you make the football, how do you get the football team in that discussion? And I really do think it needs to be making it known that you have one of the most difficult places to play in the Southeastern Conference, maybe in the country. It needs to be a chunk of the identity. You need to find a way. And I will acknowledge, because I already know there's a couple of big smart boys rocking the phones right now, shooting the text to 71307. Start your text with fam, by the way. I know that there's a couple of big smart boys that are already out there firing off the text. Rob, it's not that difficult to play there. Football team's not that good. It absolutely does need to come back to the team needs to be good at home. It does. It needs to. It can't just be it's tough to play because it's super loud. It needs to be it's tough to play because it's super loud. And even if they're not good, the Gamecock football team is going to beat the out of you. That's what it, that needs to be the identity. So I would say this year for the Gamecocks, especially knowing, as we have talked about, especially knowing that this is going to be the next 2 years, ridiculously tough 2 years. I'm talking in terms of strength of schedule. You've got one of the most difficult schedules, not in the conference, in the nation over the next 2 years running. So to me, the next step is going to be make Willie B a nightmare. Make it a nightmare. Make it where even if the team's not good, even if you finish 5-7 the next 2 years running, make it where when teams come there, they know they're in for a fist fight. Make it where when the teams come there, they know they're going to get punched in the mouth and the ribs over and over and over. Because, and I thought about this when I was reading these stadium rankings last night, my genuine, honest thought is, I don't think anybody's afraid of Willie B. And that's too bad. Because the fans put on a hell of a show every game. Every game. I've been to three at three different levels of football. Against a very good team, against an okay team, and against an FCS team. And it was the same environment. All three games. Absolutely rocking, chock-a-block full. But you got to get it to the next level. And my emphasis to Shano would be, make sure that your team has a pride in making sure that their field is one of the ones that SEC teams least look forward to visiting. Even if they know it's a win, they know they're going to get beat up in the process. Now a guy who could beat you up and your dad, Lonzo, with a sports flash.
Your dad's a punk, man. The Atlanta Braves took 2 of 3 games against the NL-leading Philadelphia Phillies over the weekend. Your dad's not a punk. He's awesome. The final matchup featured a gem from Ronaldo Lopez, who threw 6 innings, allowing only 2 hits and no earned runs as the Braves shut out Philly 6-0. Dylan Lee, Pierce Johnson, and Aaron Bummer combined for the final 3 innings of scoreless pitching. Matt Olson, Adam Duvall, and Eli White all hit home runs in the second inning to open up a lead. Atlanta never surrendered. The Braves are 49-39 and now trail Philly by 8 in the NL East. Alex Bowman has secured his position in the NASCAR playoffs with a win in a rain-shortened street race at Chicago yesterday. It's Bowman's first win since 2020 when he won at Las Vegas and the 8th of his career. And make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news, all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Back after this on The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is The Fan Upstate. Rob, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the radio program at 844-326-3663. That is the number to get on the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone. 844-326-3663. If you'd like to get at us in that direction, you are welcome to do so. You can text us at 71307, 71307, start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the radio program. You can also shoot us a tweet at The Rob Brown Show. You can tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word, or you can tweet everybody up in here at The Fan Upstate if you want to come at us in that direction. CBS Sports has ranked the best home field advantages in the Southeastern Conference. Best home field advantages in the SEC. Lonzo, who's number one? Stab in the dark.
Alabama.
Very close. Number two, LSU. They have at number one, 11-0 in night games under Brian Kelly. Its only home loss in the Kelly area came in at 11 a.m. local time against Tennessee. Alabama checked in number two. They had a 21-game home winning streak before a loss to Texas at Bryant-Denny last year. They have Florida at number three. Florida's dropped two home games in each of the past two seasons while searching for their footing under Billy Napier. But the Swamp, still known as a very difficult place to play. They have Neyland Stadium ranked number four, ranked seventh amongst the SEC venues in EA Sports' list of toughest places to play. But Baker Mayfield once called Neyland Stadium, quote, a different type of loud, end quote, after an Aggie game down there. They have Auburn ranked number five. And here's where the rankings fall apart for me. Auburn is 12-10 at Jordan-Hare Stadium over the past three seasons. They have close losses inside of that 10 to a top 15 Georgia, a top 15 Alabama, a top 15 Ole Miss last season. They rank it this high because of the prayer at Jordan-Hare and because of the kick six, the two miracle plays that knocked off Georgia and Alabama in consecutive games in 2013, which, by the way, the fact that it has been 11 years since the kick six just made my knees start hurting again. It's unreal. They have Georgia at number six. Georgia is 41-1 at home over the last seven. They own the nation's longest home winning streak at 32 games. And they have South Carolina checked in at number seven. Here's what CBS Sports writes up about the Gamecocks and about Willie B. Quote, South Carolina Stadium packs a punch, especially for a program not regarded as a historic power. Williams-Brice Stadium shakes when Sandstorm comes on, and the Gamecocks have notched some big home wins under Shane Beamer. Beating Florida and Auburn was crucial to getting the Gamecocks bowl eligible in 2021, and an upset of number 5 Tennessee altered the playoff picture in 2022, end quote. Here's where I have been. I have been to LSU. I have been to Alabama. I have been to Florida. I have not been to Tennessee for a game, but I have seen Neyland. I have been to Auburn. I have been to Georgia. I have been to South Carolina. I have not been to A&M, who they have ranked eighth, because I don't willingly hang out with people who are in a cult. I have not been to number 9 Oklahoma, 10 Texas. I have been to number 11 Mississippi State. I have not been to number 12 Arkansas. I have been to the Grove, number 13 Ole Miss. I have not been to Mizzou, Kentucky, or Vandy, 14, 15, 16 in the SEC. So of the top seven, in my experience, LSU is absolutely number one. That's not a debate to me. They are absolutely number one. Where it gets interesting is the last time that I went to Florida, Urban Meyer was still at the helm. And I can tell you that when Florida is in contention, the swamp is horrifying. When Florida's in contention, the swamp is terrifying. It's a bad place to be as an away guy. Quick story time. I went to an LSU Florida game, and I'm trying to remember the year that it was. LSU won that game. Was it 20? No, it was not. Yeah, it was. It was 2006, 2005, maybe earlier than that, somewhere in the early 2000s. Anyway, I went to that game, and I've told you guys in the past that my family is from Louisiana. They're an LSU family. So I was an LSU fan growing up. And my parents took me to an LSU Florida game, which I went to in purple. I went in purple and gold. Because, even as a kid, stir the pot a little bit. It's kind of fun. So I went in purple and gold. And LSU ended up winning on like a last second play, last minute play, whatever. And as I was leaving the swamp with my little brother, who was a Florida fan because my mother dropped him on his head as a child, and with my parents who were just, they were just there. They were just bringing their boys to a ball game. As I was leaving and we were walking out of the ramp, we were sitting up in the top. As I was leaving, I got kicked. In the back of the knee, like kicked. Not like, you know, that thing you do to your friends where you kind of like put your foot in the back of their knee and then push on it so they fall down and then you laugh at them. No. Kicked in the back of the knee. And I turned around. The old man turned around. None of the Florida fans there would admit who did it. So we just kind of kept walking. And then it happened a second time. I was, like I said, I was probably 16, 15. So it would have been late. Maybe it was late 90s. Whatever, doesn't matter. Florida was at a peak. LSU was okay at the time. Happened again, and a cop saw it. Gainesville PD. Gainesville PD saw it. Whoever did it kind of faded back into the crowd, Assassin's Creed style. And the cop came over, and he grabbed me, my little brother, my mom, and my dad, and he's like, y'all come with me. I'm going to get you out of here safe. And he walked us over to an elevator. He brought us down the elevator, and he brought us out like a back exit to the stadium. And I'm like, what? Like, why is this? Why? And he goes, oh, son, that wasn't going to stop happening until you get to your car. I was like, y'all aren't going to do nothing about it. And he goes, hey, it wouldn't matter. He goes, there's really nothing we can do. There's so many people that act like that. We can't do anything. So I haven't been back to the swamp since then. Point here is, the Florida fans are extra. They're extra. They're a lot. All right. And it doesn't stop. So I got no problem with Florida being, I would put Florida number two. I would put Alabama number three. Not a problem. But I will also say that that's in large part because of Alabama being a dynasty. Alabama pre the dynasty days would have been closer down to eight or nine on this list. Once Nick Saban turned them into a dynasty, it became a different game. Bryant-Denny Stadium became a monster of a stadium. I went there Saban's third or fourth year for a game against Mississippi State. One is a neutral fan. I had a buddy. It was his bachelor party. I graduated high school. The daughter of my high school head football coach was a sports information director at Alabama at this point. And so I called her. I'm like, yo, I need a ticket. Can you hook me up? She goes, I'll do you one better. And she got me and my boys out onto the field for that game. We were standing on the sideline for that game. And I will tell you that standing on the field of Bryant-Denny when the Crimson Tide rolls in, it's one of the coolest things I've ever experienced. I'm fine with Alabama. I would put them at three. Tennessee, I have not been to yet. I accept that they're probably up there somewhere in the neighborhood of Alabama. But just having your band play Rocky Top a bunch, to me, doesn't auto-qualify you in this discussion. So I don't know. I can't say for sure. What I will say is South Carolina deserves to be like next up on that list. I have been to Willie B three times since I moved here. Once for a Clemson game, once for a Florida game, and once for a, I don't remember, it was one of the FCS games. Upstate, I don't remember. But three times. And I can say, and I think this is something to lean on and be proud of. In fact, if anything, this probably should become, if it's not already, this probably should be the identity of South Carolina. All three games I went to, it felt like it was a night SEC versus the number one team in the country contest. All three games, the stadium was packed. All three games, the stadium was loud. All three games, the stadium was swaying. Now, I've been to an FCS game in Alabama as well as Mississippi State. And what I can tell you is that while they are still up, they are still loud, it does not have the same energy as an SEC night contest. To me, Willie B is a, I would say, top five team, maybe top four in terms of stadium environment and atmosphere on game day in the conference. To the point that I would make this my football identity if I was you, right? Like Mark Ryan used to say this all the time, and I thought it was very fair. I didn't always like what he labeled as identities, but he always said, and I agree with him, a college football team needs an identity. You need, when somebody says the name of your school, you need a thing that other people think of, right? When I say Texas A&M, you see weird dudes in World War II cosplay on the field going, oh, we're a cult. You see that in your head, right? When you hear Tennessee, you hear you see the orange and white checkerboards. When you hear Georgia, you hear sick 'em dogs. You feel that identity. If I say South Carolina, outside of Columbia and the upstate, if I go back down to the Florida Panhandle next weekend and I ask people, what do they think when they think of South Carolina? What are they going to say? Dawn Staley. And that's great. It's great. It's great. You should 1,000% be pimping the hell up out of the women's basketball team. Women's basketball, yeah, that's a bad way to phrase that. You should be 1,000% promoting the hell out of the women's basketball team. I apologize. That was poor wording, and I feel like a jerk. That's my bad. You should be promoting the hell out of the legacy of Dawn Staley and out of the legacy of the women's basketball program because you have the best in the country, and it should be celebrated as such. It just should, right? But how do you make the football, how do you get the football team into that discussion? And I really do think it needs to be making it known that you have one of the most difficult places to play in the Southeastern Conference, maybe in the country. It needs to be a chunk of the identity. You need to find a way. And I will acknowledge, because I already know there's a couple of big smart boys rocking the phones right now, shooting the text to 71307. Start your text with fan, by the way. I know that there's a couple of big smart boys that are already out there firing off the text. Rob, it's not that difficult to play there. Football team's not that good. It absolutely does need to come back to the team needs to be good at home. It does. It needs to. It can't just be it's tough to play because it's super loud. It needs to be it's tough to play because it's super loud. And even if they're not good, the Gamecock football team is going to beat the out of you. That's what it, that needs to be the identity. So I would say this year for the Gamecocks, especially knowing, as we have talked about, especially knowing that this is going to be a, the next 2 years, ridiculously tough 2 years. I'm talking in terms of strength of schedule. You've got one of the most difficult schedules, not in the conference, in the nation over the next 2 years running. So to me, the next step is going to be make Willie B a nightmare. Make it a nightmare. Make it where even if the team's not good, even if you finish 5-7 the next 2 years running, make it where when teams come there, they know they're in for a fist fight. Make it where when the teams come there, they know they're going to get punched in the mouth and the ribs over and over and over. Because, and I thought about this when I was reading these stadium rankings last night. My genuine, honest thought is, I don't think anybody's afraid of Willie B. And that's too bad. Because the fans put on a hell of a show every game. Every game. I've been to three at three different levels of football. Against a very good team, against an okay team, and against an FCS team. And it was the same environment all three games. Absolutely rocking, chock-a-block full. But you got to get it to the next level. And my emphasis to Shano would be, make sure that your team has a pride in making sure that their field is one of the ones that SEC teams least look forward to visiting. Even if they know it's a win, they know they're going to get beat up in the process. Now a guy who could beat you up and your dad, Lonzo, with a sports flash.
Your dad's a punk, man. The Atlanta Braves took two of three games against the NL-leading Philadelphia Phillies over the weekend. Your dad's not a punk. He's awesome. The final matchup featured a gem from Ronaldo Lopez, who threw six innings, allowing only two hits and no earned runs as the Braves shut out Philly 6-0. Dylan Lee, Pierce Johnson, and Aaron Bummer combined for the final three innings of scoreless pitching. Matt Olson, Adam Duvall, and Eli White all hit home runs in the second inning to open up a lead. Atlanta never surrendered. The Braves are 49-39 and now trail Philly by 8 in the NL East. Alex Bowman has secured his position in the NASCAR playoffs with a win in a rain-shortened street race at Chicago yesterday. It's Bowman's first win since 2020 when he won at Las Vegas and the eighth of his career. And make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Deese will get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news, all Wire to Wire.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.